Actually part of my dissertation research. I completed my dissertation. I graduated my PhD in May of 2010. And I just want to let you know that this is part of the larger study, a two-phase study actually with patients and then with their first-degree relatives. But for time constraints, I'm going to talk to you about the patient portion of the study. I have no relationships to disclose. So outlining the presentation, we'll go over the background, the theoretical frameworks, methodology, data analysis, results, discussion, and conclusions. Now, colorectal cancer is the third most commonly diagnosed cancer in the United States and the third leading cause of cancer death. And this is also true for the African-American population. It's the third most common cancer in African-American men and women. Now, if you look at the trends from 1975 to 2005, you can see that African American males actually had a lower death rate from colorectal cancer starting in 1975. And you can see that the women actually started off at the same. However, over time, cancer screening methods came into play, so it becomes more of a question of access. So as you can see, as increases in colorectal cancer screening procedures went up, the disparity increased for both men and women. Now, in order to prevent cancer, it's recommended that you have screening. For people who have average risk, they should begin screening at age 50. And the first four of these tests are used to detect both polyps and colorectal cancer. And the FOBT and the stool DNA are only used to detect cancer. Now, screening is recommended to begin earlier for those who have an increased risk for the disease. And this should begin at age 40. So factors that lead you to have an increased risk for colorectal cancer include having a first-degree relative who's had a history of colorectal cancer or polyps before the age of 60. If you have two first-degree relatives of any age who have been diagnosed with colorectal cancer, and having a familial history of the genetic form of colorectal cancer. So why the study? In order to comply with the recommendations for screening, it's important for people to know if their first-degree relative has been diagnosed with colorectal cancer. And so when this information is not shared, it limits a person's ability to take the appropriate prevention methods because they won't know if they are at higher risk or at average risk for the disease. So right now, in terms of the literature, little information is known how patients disclose their colorectal cancer diagnosis to their first-degree relatives, and when disclosure takes place, what type of information is actually disclosed. So the specific aim of this phase of the study was to explore patients' recollections of and experiences with a colorectal cancer diagnosis and disclosure to first-degree relatives. So in terms of the frameworks used, I decided to use the Family Secrets framework. This framework is mostly used for family therapy and in social work. And this is innovative for disease disclosure because normally when it has to do with family secrets, it has to do with addictions or those type of secrets that are considered taboo, abuse in families and that sort. But it's important because it states that disclosure can have substantial influences on individuals and their interpersonal relationships. So I felt that it would be relevant. And social support has been shown to be associated with increased cancer screening and is also important for survivorship. So in terms of conducting the study was conducted with in-depth face-to-face interviews with patients. As I said, they were also conducted with their family members, but we'll just concentrate on the patients for this presentation. So face-to-face interviews are an open-ended, discovery-oriented method. Its goal is to deeply explore the respondent's point of view, feelings, and perspectives, and it's appropriate when there's a need to understand individual decision-making, in this case, disclosing a colorectal cancer diagnosis to family members. To develop the instrument, I had to adapt constructs from both the Family Secrets framework and the Social Support framework. And in order to decide on whether determine the trustworthiness of the instrument, a consensus method was used with other researchers to make sure that each question addressed the constructs appropriately. The instrument was also pre-tested with a similar population, a male and female African-American colorectal cancer survivor. So in order to be eligible, you had to be an African-American adult age 18 and older. You had to be treated for colorectal cancer. This could include surgery, chemotherapy, or radiation. You had to receive treatment with curative intent, meaning that your chances for survival were high. You had to be 6 months to 5 years post-treatment, 6 months so that you had time to cope with the disease, and 5 years was important for recall. You had to have at least one living first-degree relative, so to be relevant for this study, and you could not be undergoing any active treatment at the time. So in terms of patient enrollment, patients were recruited from a National Cancer Institute designated cancer center and a local affiliate cancer center. This was ordered to get enough patients for the study. So from both cancer centers, there were a possibility of 56 eligible patients for the study. A few were unable to contact, so 41 patients were actually contacted for the study. And I thought it was important to talk about reasons for non-participation. So some were not interested, a few were sick or in the hospital. We wanted to keep everybody in the state, and so a few moved out, a couple. One was deceased, one was unable to schedule, and one that I thought was interesting was family interception. That's when, when you call to speak with the patient, a family member would answer and not pass the phone because they didn't want them to participate in the study at all. So that left the total patient sample of 16. So the interviews were recorded. They were transcribed by a professional transcriber, formatted into Microsoft Word, and each transcript was analyzed as soon as I received it, and it was analyzed using Atlas TI software. So in terms of research question one, what factors influence patients' decisions to reveal a colorectal cancer diagnosis to family members? And the themes that emerged were severity of the disease, and that is when the diagnosis was so severe that there would be no possible way that they could hide their diagnosis from their family member because they would be hospitalized for treatment or in a state where it was obvious something was wrong. So that was a case when they said they decided to disclose. Another theme was closeness to family. How deep was the family relationship? If they felt the family relationship was good, then they were more likely to disclose. And then the third theme was FDR risk for colorectal cancer. When a patient felt that a patient had a possible chance of being at risk for also contracting the disease, that impacted their decision to disclose as well. In the next slide, I'll give an example of closeness to family. A 48-year-old female, she said, well, I feel like if you've got children, no matter what the situation is, they need to know. You know, that's something you don't hold back, you know? So I went over and I told them. So research question two, what decision-making criteria do patients use to help them decide to disclose or not disclose a colorectal cancer diagnosis? And this really had to dealt with the family secrets framework and the utility and the usefulness of the framework for discussing colorectal cancer disclosure. So next I'm going to go through each of the constructs which are listed here and provide an example of a patient response. So in terms of the secret threatens one's well-being. So sometimes keeping a secret can be so stressful that it can impact you psychologically and in turn impact you physically, where it becomes a physical burden to keep the secret. And when the secret becomes so overwhelming, then a person is likely to disclose. And this 76-year-old man said, after he told, I felt relieved. I felt as if a burden was off of my shoulders. You know what I mean? So the next construct is the anticipated response is positive. So people always consider the response that the receiver is going to give when they're thinking about disclosure. So when they expect the receiver to respond positively and to be discreet with their secret and non-judgmental, then they're more likely to disclose. And this 54-year-old female said, like I told somebody, it's like when you get sick, all prayers help as far as I'm concerned. So she was expecting people to provide her with prayer by disclosing her secret. She said, I want people to pray for me, you know, because I just don't want to have to go through that by myself. Not just the family members, everybody, even my aunts. They go to another church, but they put me on their prayer list. So this was important for her in her decision to disclose. The communication context is also very important. It's important to find an appropriate time to disclose. So these are all things that people think through when deciding to disclose. They need to find an appropriate time. So people are more likely to disclose in certain situations than in others. So they might be more likely to disclose during a quiet evening at home than they would, say, at a party or an outing with a lot of people. In this study, many people found that the best time to disclose might be over the telephone. And in this case, this 51-year-old female said, it's different when you're actually looking at the person and you just kind of see them. They look all blank trying to absorb the information. So I guess in some ways it was a little easier to do over the phone because then there's that little bit of distance when they're absorbing it mostly. I think it's probably a little easier. I told my dad over the phone. The impact on family is positive. People practice non-disclosure to avoid negative evaluations from others. However, there are times when the possibility of receiving a negative evaluation of others is outweighed by something bigger than that. And in this situation of disclosure, the possibility of giving them access to health-related information was more important than the possible negative reaction they may have received. So in this case, it can save the family member from disease by disclosing. And this was a reason that people decided to disclose. Because this 51-year-old female said, because one of the things that I stumbled across while I was researching online was some statistics on African Americans and the fact that they tend to present well advanced. And so some of the recommendations were even African Americans are screened up to 10 years earlier than 50. And so I wasn't 50 at the time. And so when I was reading where your siblings, everything needs to be screened within 10 years of your age that you were diagnosed. So this person definitely wanted to assist her family with avoiding the disease in the future. And disclosure brings reward. This part of the family secret framework also ties into the social support framework as well. So secret tellers can receive some sort of social validation or an empathetic response. And in this case, they were expecting to get to receive emotional support. And I expected they was gonna come visiting, you know, to see about me, which they did. And that was all he was looking for. So research question 3 was to look at the different forms of social support and what roles do they play in a patient's decision to disclose. And it was found that emotional support, the provision of love, trust, empathy, and caring, had the biggest impact on a patient's decision to disclose. I expect them to take it and be strong with it. You know what I mean? And to be strong with me, because I needed their strength as much as they needed my strength. So I told them, and this was a 76-year-old male. So what does this study contribute? It contributes to theory. It's a new way to understand the disclosure process in African-American population. The family secrets framework has not previously been used to describe disease disclosure in the past, so it's new to public health and disclosure. And it was found that emotional support had the strongest influence on a patient's decision to disclose to a first-degree relative. In terms of public health practice, it was found that colorectal cancer patients play an important role in communicating their risk to communicating risk to first-degree relatives. And it was found that stress occurs in the disclosure process. This contributes to delayed disclosure, and this is when patients may not tell their family members right away. They may tell them months later or even years later after treatment is completed. And it also impacts limited disclosure. That's when they tell certain family members and not others. And they expect them to keep that, you know, within that circle. And it's also found that patients need assistance with coping with the impact of a colorectal cancer diagnosis. It was also found that spirituality is important for coping with a colorectal cancer diagnosis. Many of the patients mentioned prayer. And so this could be a possibility for a church-based intervention for people who are suffering with colorectal cancer, and also an opportunity for health advisors. It was also found that patients didn't have a lot of information. They were kind of confused about their treatment, prognosis, and the importance of familial risk for colorectal cancer. And this could be, in a hospital setting, an opportunity for a patient navigation program where patients could get assistance with these issues. It also points to the need for effective communication between physicians and patients. So in terms of recommendations for future research, it would be interesting to develop a quantitative question, a quantitative instrument to further address the themes that emerge from the qualitative data. It would also be good to explore disclosure among other ethnic groups to see if there are any similarities or differences, to examine the challenges associated with disclosure of other hereditary cancers and other hereditary diseases. And it will also be important to reach those patients who practice total non-disclosure. One of the limitations of this study was that I was not able to interview those patients who didn't tell any family members. I did come in contact with them when recruiting, but they were not comfortable answering the questions or even talking about the disease. So this population was totally missed in this study. The results can lead to the development of effective culturally specific educational materials for cancer patients. And for future research, it would be nice to look at the gender differences related to disclosure. The sample that we had few men, more women were in the sample. And so it would be nice to look at comparisons between the way men disclose and the way females disclose. So this study has the possibility to advance the lack of knowledge about the dynamics of colorectal cancer disclosure to first degrees in African Americans, to identify appropriate provider recommendations for disease disclosure and communication of familial risks to first degree relatives, to inform the development of culturally relevant interventions related to colorectal cancer screening. It also introduces the innovative use of the Family Secrets Framework into public health, and it can ultimately narrow the colorectal cancer disparity among African Americans, especially those with a familial risk. And that's it.